Have your Bibles, turn with me again to the book of Acts, and then we'll go to chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 22 as our theme scripture. If you have it, say, uh-huh, amen. If you've got your, are you ready? Acts 20, uh-huh, amen. All right. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 22 is our theme text. I want you to get this in your heart. And now, compelled by the Spirit. Everyone said compelled by the Spirit. I was reading this morning, King James Version says bound by the Spirit. Compelled, bound. It's like I'm caught in it. I'm caught in the muddy part of that. It's sticky. It's quicksand. It's bound. There's something in me. I'm compelled by it. I'm going to Jerusalem and not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Lord, I want to thank you for your word today. And I ask, Lord, the next few moments together that your Holy Spirit would speak to every heart and every life. I know that, Lord, as the word is given to us, Lord, it's going to hit hearts in different ways. It's going to hit our minds in different ways. And I know you're going to convict and minister to and help us to focus on certain places. And I thank you, Lord, that you would use these lips. I'm nothing without you, Lord, to speak through me, God, to a word that we need today. We need a word from you today, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, have your way in the name of Jesus. Make this word a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Give somebody a fist bump or high five before you see it. Tell them you love them in Jesus' name. So we're talking about renewal. And a good friend of mine who is a professor at Southeastern University, we're talking about this. He's actually my coach for my dissertation, and we're talking about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit really is all about, and what this means. And he uses terminology and verbiage of renewal. Everybody say renewal. So I'm thinking about this message series that I want us to walk through as we're out of the gate here as pastors here at First Assembly of God. And I'm thinking what we need more than anything is a renewal, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Again, if you're Pentecostal, I'm going to have the Pentecostal litmus test. Anytime I say Holy Spirit, that's your cue, right? That's your signal right there. No, but we are people of the Spirit, and we need to understand what that means. We need to embrace that and grasp and hunger for the Holy Spirit. Hunger for the person of the Holy Spirit. He is an equal part of the triune nature of God. It's not a subordinate of, it's not an afterthought. The Holy Spirit is right in the middle of our lives. And so we need to live there. We need to be camping out there and understand what the Spirit wants to do in these last days. What the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts and lives. So I'm talking about being renewed, being compelled. Everybody say compelled. By the Holy Spirit, bound. I like what the King James Version said. It says, I'm bound by the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God, then you are bound by the Holy Spirit. You are compelled. When I think of the word bound, I think of Hebrews 4:12. It says that the Word of God, it's so active and living that it has a double-edged sword. It's able to divide bone and marrow, which is one. It's also able to get into the soul and spirit of who we are and get in those crevices, those nooks and crannies, if you will. It's that powerful to get in. And so when the word bound came up in the New King James, I thought that's a powerful concept to think about the Spirit of God. That I am so in tune, I'm so baptized, I'm so infused with His Holy Spirit that it becomes part of me. Becomes one. It becomes a nucleus, if you will, of who I am in God. I say I'm a Christian. Well, you are Spirit-filled. You have God in you, right? It's so together. It's so one that's what the Hebrews 4:12 says, that it's bound. It's together. It's tight. It's bone and marrow. It's spirit and soul. It's one thing. And so we think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's all part of this renewal. Everybody say renewal. 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 And the reason I pick out Paul and talk about Paul is because he had reached a place in his life where he is tried, he is tested, he is in chains, he's in prison, he's encumbered by life circumstances. How many have felt life circumstances here lately? Life circumstances, the anxiety that can bring, the worry that can bring, the depression that can bring, the distress that life can bring. He has all that going on, but yet in somewhere in his heart, in his mind, he's able and he's not superhuman. Paul is a man just like you and me. He's a human just like you and me. He feels what we feel. He goes through what we feel. He feels the pressures. And I know you have a pressure in your life. You may have many pressures in your life. You may feel overwhelmed this morning. I'm thankful that you're in the healing place. Amen. You're in the house of God. And the Holy Spirit is here and he wants to meet you right where you're at. No matter what you're facing. No matter what difficulty you're going through. His Holy Spirit is more than able. He is more than able to do what I've asked him to do. Exceedingly abundantly above all. And so Paul has reached this place in his life where he can identify and say things like he's saying here in Acts in chapter 20. He said, I've come to you with humbleness and with tears. And he says, I don't know exactly what's going to happen to me, but the Holy Spirit is reminding me that wherever I go, there's going to be harm and danger. The Jews are after his life. The people in the synagogue, they're all after him because he's professing and teaching this news about Jesus Christ, who they felt like they just got rid of in town. And he's feeling this Roman oppression, and the Jews, these guys are after his life. And so he's trying to get to Jerusalem before the day of Pentecost. He's trying to get there, but the Holy Spirit sends him different ways. And he comes to this area where he meets this young man. That's where I want us to go today and back up, if you will, in verse 7. Go back to verse 7, if you will, in Acts chapter 20. And we're going to introduce you to this young man named Eutychus. And it's an interesting story. It's kind of an obscure story. The name Eutychus actually means favor. And if you think about he didn't have a very good day that day. But we see the name Eutychus means favor, and we'll see the end of the story actually is a very favorable situation for him. Now, I mean, how many of you do public speaking or maybe teach, or you're able to speak in front of audience? How many do a little bit of public speaking in your work? Anybody else? Yeah, so you speak in front of some people, and you're comfortable with that, and you notice everything when you're up in front of an audience. You notice things that you didn't. We had a lady in a church that we were in, and if she's watching, I'm going to say, good morning, Kay, how you doing? But we had a lady back in Indiana, a church we were at. I'm not kidding, she would actually clip her toenails and fingernails during service when I'm preaching. You could count on it every Sunday morning. I start hearing this. I look down, and there's Kay clipping her toenails and her fingernails. I'm like, what in the world? We can see it all from up here. That's just one of her routines. She would be listening, she'd be amen and all that, but she'd be clicking her toenails at the same time. I'm like, you just go for it. Whatever you want to do, just be happy, just be natural, have a good time in church. That's what it's about. But you notice everything. But I never had this happen before. I've seen some people doze off, and I know they've had long weekends, and maybe I was just going extra long. I don't know. Maybe I was really boring. I don't know what was going on, but they'd be dozing off, and I could see them. They're trying to keep their heads going back up. So you see all this while you're talking, and you're still trying to think about your message and about the, you know, you're thinking about that, but you also see these things going on. So you see a lot of things when you're up here. And I love when I look and see you guys smile this morning. I see your smiles. I see you're with me. I know when you're connecting with me. But Paul's been talking all night. And he's in this place, and they're in this upper room building, if you will. And this young man, Eutychus, is sitting in the windowsill. And he's listening to Paul. And it's the worst. Well, let's just go there. It's better if I just read it to you. I can give you the kind of the layout, but I'm going to read it to you. On verse 7, everybody say, amen, if you're there. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And it's real important that we see that. Paul spoke to people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upstairs room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." And then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Interesting story. I had never had that happen. I'm glad. But the story, it makes sense because his name is like it doesn't fit. Favor. Well, that wasn't a very favorable thing. He fell out of a third-story window, and history would tell us it's about a 15-foot drop. Well, if you fall 15 foot, chances are you're not going to make it, or you're going to be broken up pretty good. Now, in Old Testament or New Testament writings, and some of the we see that in the Roman writing, if you will, there was this thought of when it speaks of someone being dead, it was like there was semicosis, they were in a coma, or they were still alive but not in a dead state. So we don't really know exactly if he was completely dead. I'm gonna say that there was a miracle. Whatever happened, it happened in that moment. But here's Paul in that moment. He comes down out of that third level, the upper level, and comes down to the ground where the young man is, spreads himself over the young man, begins to pray over him, and we see this miraculous catch of breath and resuscitation. Everybody say resuscitation. Resuscitation. We see this breath that he receives, and it says that he is alive again, and he gets up. Can you imagine the celebration that was happening in that moment when he woke up from the dead? He was resurrected, if you will. I don't know about you, but I know for my life, there are times in my life where I need the breath of God to come in and resuscitate me wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing. I need the breath of God to breathe in me. And you might be here this morning and say, Pastor Steve, I'm holding on hope for one more time. I'm going to give it, I'm just at the last straw, I'm at my last breaking point, but I need God. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would breathe into you right now in the name of Jesus and resuscitate you wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. Even those watching online, there's things that you're going through. You feel like life's pressure is overwhelming you. You feel like you just can't hold on any longer. I'm praying, you guys pray with me right now, in the name of Jesus, God would breathe the breath of fresh resuscitation air, breath in your life right now in the name of Jesus. That God would just give you what you need. The Bible says he is Jehovah Rohi, he is my shepherd. That means he knows me, he walks with me, he helps me, he can breathe. You ask God for that, he's not going to hold it from you, he's going to give it to you freely. That breath of resuscitation, that breath of life. So we see this amazing raising of the dead, if you will. Metaphorically, the sleeping state was known as being dead, but unconscious, we're not sure. But miraculous acts of raising a person from the dead are really rare in the Bible. Yet, there are three resuscitations in Luke's writings that we see. Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead in Luke 7. We see that Peter raises Tabitha in Acts chapter 9. And Paul raises Eutychus here in Acts chapter 20. We see this amazing story. So a good reader will not miss the parallels here, what the Holy Spirit is doing. And as a result, the author of Acts is in no way depicting that Paul in a negative light, is given that apart from Jesus, Paul is only one of two other people in the entire New Testament that we see to perform a miracle of resuscitation. So interestingly, we see this happening in a room called the upper room. I want you to think about this for a moment, metaphorically, how we see this picture unfolding. It's much like the room where the disciples shared with Jesus. In both Luke and Acts, the upper rooms provide an intimate setting for Jesus' followers. Example, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus communes and dines with his disciples in the upper room during the night of his arrest. And later in Acts chapter 1, Jesus' disciples again gathered in an upper room prior to the Holy Spirit's blessing or arrival of the God's Spirit on them. And Peter resuscitates Tabitha from the dead, whose body was been laid in an upper room in Acts 9. Here we see in Acts 20, verse 7, that the Christians in Troas worshiped God. Everybody say worship. Everybody worshiped God in an upper room, and all these three units, all these three narratives, if you will, all these upper room settings demonstrate the context of intimacy and sincere unity and discipleship among those that were gathered. I know Jason shared a message a few weeks ago talking about the unity of the body. It's important, guys, that if we are praying for our nation to be resuscitated, we are praying for our church to have this fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, it's important that we are united in that effort, that we have one heart, one mind, and we want God's move upon this land through us. How many want it to begin with me? I want it to begin right here at Rock Hill First Assembly. I want to see a revival sweep through this city, through this state, through this nation, and I want it to begin right here with us. And I believe that it can. Brother Privett, I believe that it can. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to pour out himself upon us. I know God wants to do that for us, and we need that resuscitation. But think about this. An important ingredient, I'm going to open this up this morning, important ingredient for this to happen is worship. Worship is a pathway to renewal. Everybody say that with me. Worship is a pathway to renewal. So you want the breath of God to breathe on your life? You want to be resuscitated in the things in this life? You want resuscitation? You want strength of the Holy Spirit? It begins with worship. I love you guys' worship here on Sunday morning. I love our worship together. But our worship is more than just three songs on Sunday morning. Our worship is 24/7. Our worship is when we sleep, and our worship is when we get up. Our worship is during the middle of the day at our work, when our boss is coming down our throats and we're on our last leg. Our worship is a lifestyle of how we live our lives. And so we ask God, breathe on me. In those moments where we need his breath, worship. You see, the Christians at Troas show themselves to be faithful, gathering of Jesus' followers by the means of their faithful worship of God. You guys, when I see you come in Sunday morning and I say, I'm glad you're here, I am glad that you're here because you're demonstrating that this is important to me. This is important that I bring my kids. This is important that we bring our families to church. Yes, we could be doing a lot of things today. We can go on boat rides. We got fireworks. We got cookouts. And all that's going to happen. But thank God you said, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to be in church this morning. And then we're going to celebrate those things. Because worship's important to me. And you make that declaration. And that's part of that resuscitation. So they were breaking bread. They were worshiping God. And existing in unity, much like we see in Acts chapter 2. You guys remember what happened in Acts chapter 2? Yeah. The Holy Spirit came and filled them all where they gathered together. The Holy Spirit came and resuscitated them, filled them for overflowing. And a great move of God was birthed out of that moment. All came upon everyone. Many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles in Acts chapter 2. So not only do we see these ingredients, we see teaching, we see fellowship, we see breaking of bread, and the miracles performed by an apostle. So we see this happening here again in chapter 20, verse 7 through 12. We see this miracle happen, the teaching, the breaking of bread. Anytime you are with Jesus, you're eating. I love that you guys like to eat together. And you know what? We're going to do more of that around here. We're just going to eat together. Matter of fact, on your way out today, we got a surprise for you because we just want you to eat together and just have some time together and just fellowship together. Because anytime you're around Jesus, there's abundance. He said, I want you to have life and what? More abundantly. And so we see the breaking of bread. We see the worshiping together. We see this sharing together. And through that, we see renewal. Renewal. Now, if you're saved, you are being renewed. I'd like for you to think of salvation in terms of what John Wesley, 18th century circuit rider, preacher, great evangelist, when he would teach about salvation, he would teach about it, he would call it ora salutis, which would mean order of salvation. And I like his terminology here because what it does, it shows me that my salvation was just not a one-time thing. It wasn't just I prayed a prayer, I got up, and then I was saved, and that's all I had to do. No, that's a big part of it. Don't get me wrong. But salvation is a renewal. Everybody say renewal. It's a continuation of my salvation. It's an ongoing thing. And so my being baptized in his presence, in his Holy Spirit, is something that continues with me. John Wesley would say first of all, when you pray that prayer, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, he said, you are justified. Everybody say justified. You're justified. So if I go to court of law, I'm justified. I'm going to be set free. I'm not going to be found guilty any longer. I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. I'm forgiven. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. Then he would say the second part of your salvation is being sanctified. Everybody say sanctified. Sanctification means it's an ongoing process of me being transformed into something different that I'm not yet. I'm being moved from this point to that point. I'm growing in him. I'm being sanctified. I'm moving in the right direction. I'm being changed. And then he would say the last part of your salvation is glorification. Everybody say glorification. So I'm justified, I'm sanctified, and then I'm glorified. Aren't you thankful that one day he's going to split the eastern sky? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It says, encourage one another with those words. So I want to encourage you today that part of your salvation, Kennedy, one day you're going to be with Jesus. You're going to be in his presence. You're going to be in his presence, and he's with us now, but you're going to be in that place where you're going to be glorified, the Bible says. A glorified means it's like a total state of we're in him, we're renewed. It's that final chapter, that thing we're looking forward to. Aren't you thankful that this is a momentary affliction right now, but we're going to be with God in eternity? Aren't you thankful for that? So John Wesley would say that's part of your renewal. It's a justification, it's sanctification, it's a glorification, it's a renewal, it's an ongoing. And so my professor friend would say, you being baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a divine moment where we're saved. There is a divine baptism when we receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's an ongoing thing, Ernie. It's an ongoing baptism, right? It's a renewal. So think of your salvation, if you guys can think of it in these terms, is that I once was saved, I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. You understand? That's really what Wesley was saying. He's saying, I'm justified, I'm sanctified, and I'm going to be glorified. That's a good place for a Pentecostal to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. So it's a path to renewal. Worship is a pathway to renewal. Worship is a lifestyle. It's part of my renewal process. I was saved. Aren't you thankful you were saved? Aren't you thankful you're being saved? Or someone perfect in here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect, are you? If you're perfect, then you don't have to be saved again. You're just perfect. But no one's perfect. And so thank God I am being saved. Thank God his mercies are new every morning. Thank God that his grace is sufficient. My wife says God has a long arm of grace, and I love that terminology because it shows me that God is for me, not against me. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall short of the glory of God, but thanks be to God, his grace is sufficient in the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful that he doesn't give up on us. So there's a renewal. There's a renewal. So let me give you a couple things, how we get to renewal and how we get to this spirit connection where the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, and this worship is a pathway to that. First of all, renewal, you've got to hear God speak to you every day. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. You've got to hear God speak to you every day. I'm going to say it one more time. You've got to hear God speak to you every day. How do you do that? Everybody's got their own thing. I like coffee in the morning. Marion's not here this morning. He's home helping with Teresa, but he said he's not a coffee drinker. But he brought me a Keurig over at the house yesterday, so I could have my coffee in the morning. I like my coffee in the morning. I like opening my Bible, and God speaks to me in those quiet moments, right? I had one coffee say amen. Coffee drinkers, come on. Coffee drinkers, unite. Hello. And I'm so thankful the youth put out this coffee kiosk. Man, I'm so excited about that. I was jumping up and down. And I was getting baptized in the foyer this morning out there. Whatever works for you is what I'm saying. You got to find a place to hear God speak to you every day. Whether that's in the car, if you got a long commute to work, just listening to the Word of God. You can listen to it audio. You can just listen to it in the quiet. You can listen to a worship song. You got it every day. And so what you've got to do, you've got to read the book every day. Come on, child of God. If you're a Bible-believing person, a Christian, then you got to read the book, right? You got to open it up. It's not going to read itself for you. It's like Pastor Larry says on missions trips, his blocks ain't going to lay themselves, guys. Let's get going and start building them walls. I just thought about that. This Bible's not going to read itself to you. You got to read it for yourself. You got to open it up and read it. So every day, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He's going to do that through the Word of God. Everybody say Word of God. It speaks to me. So I've got to hear a word from the Lord. And so when I'm walking in this renewal thought process, and I'm listening to God speak to me through his Holy Spirit, I'm saying to the Lord, God, I need you to speak a word to my life. There are things that we are going through in life. There are things that we're all facing this moment, this hour, in this land, that we need a fresh voice of God speaking to our hearts and our spirit, man. Does anybody hear me this morning? We need God speaking to us. And if we're serious about this thing, then we need to find a place of quiet time, a place of prayer, a place where we open up the Word and say, God, speak. Speak to me. You know what I found? That God, even in His silence, He yells at me in those moments. How much He loves me. How much He is for me, how much He wants to pour His Spirit in me and through me. And then when I begin to work in that place, in that flow, then I begin to see the needs all around me every day, everywhere I go. I see people in the windows at McDonald's. I see people in the stores. I see people in the workplace that need to see that I love Jesus because they need Jesus. You think I want God to speak to me just for me? No. It's so that He can use me, so I'm renewed. So I'm being renewed by hearing God speak to me every day. And secondly, you've got to get into His presence. This really kind of goes hand in hand. I need God to speak to me every day, and I need to get into His presence. Put that down. I need to get into His presence. If you got phones, keep it on your note page. I want you guys to kind of get in the habit of just taking some notes. Not because of my eloquency and because all these. No, I want you, because when the Spirit says something to your heart, you need to put it down. You need to remember it. You need to act on it. So I want you to get in the habit of that. Hear God speak to you each day. Get into His presence. You see, God wants to have a visitation of your heart. A visitation of your heart. I love what a 20th century theologian by the name of Mueller, who started many orphanages, he would say, I need to renew my faith each day. I need to renew my faith each day. I need a fresh voice from God, a fresh word from God. I need His Spirit to pour into my life every day, a renewal, a fresh faith, if you will. I love what Hebrews 11:1 says. It says, faith is, it is the substance of things hoped for. Hello? It is the evidence of things not seen. So when I'm thinking of hope, I'm hoping for the future. When I'm thinking of things not seen, I'm thinking what is invisible. And if I'm going to hold out for those things, if I'm going to pray and believe for those things, you better believe I need the Holy Spirit flowing in me on a daily basis. I need His presence. I need the renewal. I need to be living in the promises of God through worshiping and knowing who He is. You see, full of faith, when I'm full of faith, when I'm faith-filled, it results in me being able to see an eternal future and the promises of God. When I am faithless and I'm faith, I'm thankful that He is faithful when I am faithless. Amen? The Word tells us that, by the way. Even when I'm faithless, He is faithful. He cannot disown Himself. But in those faithless times, when I'm having those places where I'm saying, God, where are You? You guys ever go through that? God, where are You moments? God, I can't hear You. It seems like You're not answering my prayers. Even in those moments, He is with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never stop chasing you. I love You that much. But when I'm full of faith, I can see the eternal value. I can see God moments. I can see what God wants to accomplish. Instead of being focused on the testings and the trials and the tribulations that are all around us, tribulations, we focus on His promises. And that's where the Apostle Paul had gotten to in his life. It's what amazes me. Again, he's not superhuman. He's just human. But he got to a place in his life where the trials, the testings, the temptations, the circumstances of life had all grown dim because the Holy Spirit was working and operating in his life. He got into a place like David would sing a song in Psalm 91. It's one of my favorites. He would say that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress. He is that one I come underneath. He is my shield. He says also in Psalm 46 that He is a very present help in time of trouble. And in verse 10 he says, be still and know that I am God. He says, watch me, Brother Steele. He says, I'm God. I'm God. And so when you're faith-filled, you operate in Psalm 91. You know what? In the mornings, my prayer is for my wife and for my kids, and now our grandson, is, Lord, I'm asking that you command your angels concerning them to guard them in all their ways. And I'm praying Psalm 91, that he who dwells under the shadow of the Almighty, or in the shelter of the Almighty, shall be under the shadow, if you will. A covering, a place. Pray that over your kids. Pray that they have a covering over them. And then when they are going through the trials and the testings in this the valley of the shadow of death, if you will, I will fear no evil because my God is with me. You see, you go from not being overwhelmed by circumstances, but you are infused with power instead. Amen? You go from this place of wondering where God is, where I can't see hope, I get discouraged, I get anxiety comes on me. You go from that place to being resuscitated into the things of God. And you see God's purposes in your life begin to unfold. And that's exactly what we see this picture with Eutychus is happening here. Eutychus fell out of the window. Now think about it. Metaphorically, I love this. It's like Eutychus fell out of the window and hit the ground. He's dead. And as the writer in Romans, Paul would say, you know, but because of your trespasses, because of your sins, you are dead. And you are dead because of your wages of sin. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Paul came down from the upper room, just like Jesus came down from heaven. Hello. Came down to earth. And aren't you thankful that Paul prayed over him and there's a resuscitation, a feeling, a breath, a renewal? Aren't you thankful that God loves his creation so much that he's still chasing after us and he knows that we are in need of breath, we are in need of oxygen, we are in need of resuscitation right now. We need it. And he sent his son to come down onto this earth to resuscitate us, to lift us up. And we see the story. Eutychus is alive again. And thanks be to God, you're here this morning. And I talked to several of you, and you said, I'm just thankful to be alive. Listen, we have lots to be thankful for. We have the Holy Spirit living in us today. We have resuscitation today. We have the breath of God living in us right now in the name of Jesus. The breath of God breathing and living in us. You see, when you accepted Jesus Christ, he put his seal on you, and he says, you are my child. You are mine. And we are one. And where I am, you are. And Paul said, as for me to live is Christ, to die. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life I live in this body, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I love this narrative of Eutychus because it gives me promise to know that I can too be resuscitated. I don't know about you this morning, but I need the breath of the Holy Spirit breathing on me. And it's my prayer, guys, during this message series and these next few weeks together, these next few days together, as the Lord would just help this word soak in your hearts and your minds. Think about what we're talking about. That you find a place where you lock in and you say, Lord, breathe on me. Breathe a refreshing. Breathe a renewal. I need resuscitation. When we need resuscitation, that means it's getting pretty serious, right? When you're in need of CPR, you're in trouble. They say those athletic, I'm athletic even though I don't look like I am athletic as much. I'm going to get better shape. But they say when you start feeling thirsty, it's already too late. If you run, if you exercise, you shouldn't feel thirsty. You should be hydrated already. You're already in trouble when you start feeling thirsty. So even in our prayer, even in my message today, it's like we're already in trouble. I'm asking God to resuscitate me. That means I am in great need of something, of the breath of God. I am in need of his Holy Spirit. And don't you think that God doesn't see that heart and that cry, and he is ready and able to fill us to overflowing in the name of Jesus? All he's asking is that we ask. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he wants to fill us. He wants to resuscitate us. He wants to baptize us in the name of Jesus. I'd like for you guys just to pray with me right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Matter of fact, let's just stand together. Those of you watching online, I want you to just enter in time of prayer with me right now. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Steve, I'm in need of resuscitation. Well, this is a message for you today, because I do too. I need it. We all need it. This church, this body, we're in one accord. We need the Holy Spirit. Some of you watching may not really know what that means when I talk about the Holy Spirit. It talks about God's love and the way that He ministers to our lives by His presence, and by how he I guess, gives that love to us and works in us. We're here in the house. We're praying. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Steve, I know that I'm in need of resuscitation. I know that I'm not where I need to be in God. And something that you've said today, maybe even a song that was sung earlier, or something, there's something that's pricked my heart. And my friend, I want you to know that that's the Holy Spirit. That's how I know God's will. He kind of nudges me. He speaks to me through His word, through songs, those quiet moments. Maybe today the Holy Spirit's nudged your heart and just says, come closer to me. Maybe you already know Him, but He's just saying, come closer to me. I want to pray for you this week. I'm not going to embarrass anyone today. See, Pastor, pray for me. I feel that nudge today to just to draw closer to Him, to know His Holy Spirit more. If that's you, would just so I can know who you are, would you slip your hand up? Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor Steve, I know that I'm not where I need to be in Christ. I'm in need of resuscitation in so many ways, and I'm just tired. And I'm going to come and lay myself at the foot of the cross and ask Jesus to be my Savior and be my Lord. If that's you here in the house this morning, let me know who you are. Slip up your hand and back down. Pray for me, Pastor. I need God today. Anybody up in the balcony this morning? I need God. Anyone on the main floor this morning? I need Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. Those of you watching online, thank you for watching with us today. Maybe you say, Pastor, I need Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I need resuscitation in my life. I need renewal. Just pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins and be my Lord and be my Savior. I ask you to fill me with your presence that I might know who you are. In the name of Jesus, I'll follow you hard all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to know that the Bible talks about you being washed, cleansed, renewed, a new life today. Maybe email us or text us or send us a note saying that I prayed today and thank you for your prayers. Thanks for watching this morning. And those of you in the house,